that we need as well. We need Morar in our times is a mitzvah derabbanan, because the basis for that mitzvah is the pasuk Amatos Morarim Yochuhu, which is meant, the pasuk is talking in the context of the Karban Pesach, that the Karban Pesach should be eaten together with Matzah Morar. So therefore, seeing that we don't have a Karban Pesach, the eating of Morar is just a, the derabbanan. Whereas by matzah you'll say, well, isn't matzah the same in the same pasuk? But as I mentioned a moment ago, by matzah there's an additional pasuk which says the erev tochel matzos, and therefore we have this stringency that matzah is d'oraisa. In addition to that, we also eat the korech, the sandwich that you know is a big challenge to eat that sandwich and keep yourself clean. The korech sandwich, which is comprised of matzah and morah together, also requires the eating of the kezayis, for that clearly is midrabanan, as we say in our brothers, Zechel and Mikdash. And then we have the eating of the afikoman, which is also a commemoration of the matzah, or the Karban Pesach itself, or the matzah that was eaten with the Karban Pesach, which is also midrabanan. So therefore, we have various achilos that we have that we have on the night of Pesach. Again, just to review, if you want to talk in the jargon of the order of the Seder, the well-known simanim of the Seder, you have mosi matzah, which is the mitzvah di matzah, that is a mitzvah min haTorah. Then you have the mitzvah of morar, which is midrabanan, the mitzvah of korech, which is midrabanan, and the sofun, which is the eating of the afikoman, which is also, all of those things are midrabanan. Now I just want to point out, there are other things that we eat at the Pesach Seder, two other things that are noteworthy, but those things are beyond this discussion, and they are the karpas, the piece of vegetable, whatever you use, that is dipped into salt water, which in the case of the karpas, it's specifically mentioned that one should not eat a kezayis, one should eat a small piece. You know, sometimes people are very hungry at the beginning of the Seder and they really indulge in the karpas, which is not really the thing to do. And also there is there's an Indian that's brought down to eat karosas at some point. I just want to mention that mistakenly it is held that people put the karosas and the morar together and eat it together. This is a mistake, because the karosas is not supposed to be eaten together with the morar. The morar is supposed to be dipped in the karosas, and then the karosas is supposed to be removed from the morar. Okay, the karosas is eaten, you could eat the karosas later on during the meal, but when the morar or the korech, for that matter, are eaten, so even though we dip the morar in the karosas, but the karosas should not be part of the sandwich, or certainly should not be part of the morar, as much as, you know, we like to do that because it makes the whole situation better and improves the taste, but nevertheless, that's not the way it's supposed to be done, exactly for that reason, because of the fact that it takes away the taste of the morar. So therefore, if one looks in the Shulchan Aruch, there is no dispute on this point, that you dip the morar into a charosis and then shake off, you remove the charosis before eating it, and that's brought down that later on during the meal a person should eat the charosis as well. But that, again, that's beyond this discussion. So the main, to summarize, the main achilos that we have by the Seder and Pesach, you have basically the matzah and morah. You have three different situations of matzah. You have the mosi matzah, you have the korech, and you have the afikoman, and then you have the morah, which is eaten by itself at one point, and then again it is eaten as part of the korech sandwich. Now all of these things are achilos that have to take place at the Seder. These are all mitzvahs. And we have a klal in halacha that any time there is a mitzvah that calls for an achila, so the minimum shear, the minimum amount that a person needs to eat in order for it to be considered halachically that you ate it, is a kezayis. Is a kezayis, which literally translates the size of an olive. Okay, in other words, if a person were just to eat a little piece of matzah on the night of Pesach, you'll say, well, I don't like matzah, so I'm going to eat a little piece, and that's fine. So in order for it to be an achila, in order for it to be halachically considered that you ate it, you have to eat a minimum of the shear of a kezayis. If not for that, if a person does not eat that amount, then it would be considered that he did not fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah. And additionally, it would be considered bracha batola. The person said the bracha was matzah, that would be a bracha that was not justified because of the fact that the achila called for a kezayis. Yes. For men and women equal. There's no difference when it comes to these things between men and women. Women are chayav in all of the mitzvahs that we have at the Seder. As far as the chiyuv of Haggadah, you may recall we spoke about that last year. You know, at least a woman may not have to say the entire Haggadah, but at least the highlights of the Haggadah a woman should say. You know, preferably should try to say all of it, but at the very least should say the central part of Avodah Mayinu and you know the Chiyuv Devar Zarah and Amliyo, etc. But all the mitzvahs that say that there is no distinction between men and women. So now the following question comes up. So how much is a kezayis? So we say, well, a kezayis means like the size of an olive. So if one goes to the public and you buy olives, so you'll see, well, it's no big deal, right? I mean, they're obviously different sizes. They're small, medium, and large, right? Maybe it's extra large. But whatever the case may be, it doesn't seem like a very daunting task, and therefore it should be very easy to do this. So the question then presents itself. You may have seen it's become very, very popular recently in they sell in Judaica outlets before Pesach these laminated cards that have different color coded cards that say that, you know, this is how much you have to eat, how much you have to put the matzah in this picture and see how much it is. And everyone is amazed. How could this possibly be if it's a kezayis? So how do you get such a large amount? So this is what I would like to attempt to explain today. It's a little technical, but just bear with me. I have to apologize. The fellow who usually does the Maromatoma sheets for me is a member of our Beis Medrash, who's already off on his Pesach vacation. So you have to trust me for some of the sources here. I'll tell you where you can find them. You can go home and look it up, and you'll see that it's there. Okay, so the question is, how much is a kezayis? So the first thing we have to understand is that all of these shiurim, all of these shiurim that we speak about are measured in volume. Okay, it's a shiur of volume, it's not a shiur of weight, but rather it's a shiur of volume. The volume of a kezayis, that's how much a person has to eat. So we have in this, as far as the shiur, the size of the kezayis, there is a machlokas in the Mishonim, which is a basic machlokas, and that is based on several statements that we find in the Gemara. The Gemara Masechet Yuma Daf Pei Amud Aleph says, it makes the following statement: Ein deis tabliya machzekes yoser mi deis tanagolas. The Gemara tells us that a person's esophagus, that a person's throat can only swallow at one point, at one time, the maximum amount that a person is capable of swallowing is the egg of a chicken. Eggs of tangles. That is the largest amount that a person is able to swallow. Okay. We find another Gemara in the Sefer Krisus from the Yudalad Amenal, which says, Ein deis tabliya matzekes yoser mishnei deisim, that the ability of the human being to swallow is limited. A person cannot swallow more than two olives at the same time. That is the size of two olives. So we have two statements in the Gemara. The first statement says that in two different places, two different masechtas in the Shas, the first says that the base habliya, that the throat of a person cannot swallow, the maximum amount the person can swallow is the egg of a chicken. And the second Gemara says 2 hours. So a little quick mathematical calculation will tell us, as Tosis in several places points out, that thus we see that an egg, that the size of a zayas is half the size of an egg. Because the Gemara is saying, how much could a person swallow? So one Gemara says the size of an egg, the other Gemara says the size of two olives. Presumably they're on the same page, they're in agreement with each other. Thus it would come out that an olive, a kezayis, is half the size of an egg. So now the problem obviously is that you'll say, where either something's obvious, something's very wrong. How could that be? The olives that we have, with the number that I saw quoted, was that the olives that we have, even the larger olives, are approximately 1/9 the size of eggs. So how could you say that the zayas is half the size of an egg? It's just not true. Go to any store, even if you'll say that the ones they put in the jars and maybe the small olives, but get the extra large, the jumbo olives, whatever it is, it's still much, much less than the half the size of an egg. So this gives rise to the well-known halakhic principle, which raises eyebrows to this day, which is that we say miskatnu hazeisim. Miskatnu hazeisim means that the olives that we see today are not the olives, are not the same size of the olives of years ago. The olives in the time of the Gemara were different than the size of the olives today. An interesting explanation of this I saw in quoted in the Taz in Yeridea, I believe it's Simon Nun Dalit, that the Taz says that the quotes from one of the earlier Achronim from the Marshal, that the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, the Shivas Haminim, the seven special species of Eretz Yisrael, were originally all much bigger. We know, we read the story of the Meraglim, you had the grapes that they brought back from Eretz Yisrael, were much larger than the Meraglim described, much, much larger than any grapes we've seen today. And therefore, part of the bracha that existed, that the Peiros of Eretz Yisrael, the species of Eretz Yisrael, was that they were blessed, that they were abnormally large. They were larger than those that you would find in other places. And therefore, now this, due to presumably the Golos or whatever, it's not like it used to be. You got Eretz Yisrael, the Baruch Hashem, the land produces now in our time, which it didn't for so many years, and produces grapes and produces olives, but it's the conventional size. They're not the size of the grapes. If a person were to go to any of the wineries in Eretz Yisrael, go to the vineyards, and you will see that the grapes there are not anywhere near the way that the Chazal described the grapes that the Meraglim carry. So therefore, we have a concept, Niskatnu Hazeisim, that the olives of today are not the olives of days of old. And thus, when we have the shear, that an olive is considered half the size of an egg, so even though that's contrary to anything that we see in front of our eyes, nevertheless, that is the halakhic principle. And this is the opinion of the Balei HaTosfos, that they hold that the shear of a kezayis is half of an egg. Now, there is another opinion, as I mentioned, this is the Machlokas in Rishonim, this is the opinion of Tosfos. Then we have the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam is a more lenient opinion. The Rambam bases himself on a Mishnah in the Sefer Erevin, where the Mishnah describes when, in order to make an Erev, right, so a person is supposed to put down, he says, make an Erev Chumen, if a person wants to make an Erev, to be able to extend the distance that he's allowed to travel on Shabbos outside of the Chum, outside of the legal domain of Shabbos, so it says that the shear is mazon shtei sudos. It says that the amount of food that a person has to put down is food that would be good enough for two meals. And the Mishnah proceeds to say that the Gemara explains that this would be 18, the equivalent, two meals would be the equivalent of 18 dried figs. 18 dried figs. Comes along the Gemara, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says, that in reality, this would be the equivalent of six eggs. In other words, 18 dried figs would be the equivalent of six eggs. Again, a little quick math would tell us that one egg would be the equivalent of three figs. Now, we find elsewhere in the Gemara that the Gemara tells us that even in the good old days, an olive was smaller than the size of a fig. So therefore, it comes out that if the shear of a kezias was, if three eggs equal 18 figs, that means that one egg equals three figs. If an olive is smaller than a fig, then that would mean that at the maximum, at the absolute maximum, the shear of a kezias would be one third of the size of an egg. So thus, we have a second opinion. This is the sheet of the Rambam, that the Rambam holds that the shear of the kezias is a third of an egg. So we have two opinions. These are the two basic opinions in halacha. The shear of the kezias, according to the Baal Tosfos, is considered the half of an egg, and according to the Rambam, is considered a third of an egg. Okay. So this being the case, so life should still be very simple. So we don't need. I'm sorry, but
those are based on two gemaras, aren't they?
Yes.
So how do they reconcile those two?
So it's hard to know. So the Rambam apparently holds that these gemaras are the Iker and Tosfos. Yeah, they don't hold. They hold that they're not, that they're exclusive each other. I don't think the Rambam addresses Tosfos. I didn't see. I don't think the Rambam addresses Tosfos Raya, and I don't think Tosfos addresses the Rambam's point. Yeah, they're all based on statements in the Chazal. You see, the problem is that there is no one central place in the Shas where this topic is discussed. How much is a kezias? So therefore, you're left to wonder, you know, so we have to go by whatever we see. It's sort of like we're trying to feel our way around. So we have these statements, almost like random statements that we find in the Gemara, and we're trying to put it together. So therefore, we have these two sheets, the machlokas between the Rambam and Tosfos. Now, this being the case, so you'll say, all right, so it still shouldn't be a big deal. Because when it comes to Pesach, when it comes to eating the matzah by Pesach, it's a very simple solution. Just take an egg. I have one anyway on the table plate, but even if you don't, just take an egg, put it down right in front of you, and you'll measure the matzah against the egg. You want to be matzner, you can go like Tosfos, whatever. That's what we would say. Right? So the problems begin from this point. Okay? In other words, had it been this much, life would be simple. However, here's where things become complicated, because as we could all imagine, right, if you use your Gemara cup, right, if you want to apply yourself to the knowledge of halacha and say, well, let's make sure we have this straight, so there are several questions that come up. One question that comes up is, when we measure an egg, does the Gemara mean to say the contents of the egg, or does the Gemara mean to say the egg with the shell? In other words, is it the egg as you see it in the raw form? What does it mean? What's inside the egg? And there is a discrepancy between, if you shake an egg, you'll see there is some air. There's some airspace in between the contents of the egg and the shell of the egg. So one machlokas that exists is when we're measuring against an egg, does it mean with the shell or without the shell? But there is another problem which becomes, in effect, a much greater problem. And that is that we find in the Chazal, there are two ways to measure. The Gemara tells us there are two ways to determine the size of an egg. Okay, the size of what's called a kebeya, right, which is a shear also in halacha, which has relevance, right, for example, on the first night of Sukkot. So it's a special mitzvah to eat in the sukkah more so than the rest of sukkahs, even though a person has to eat every meal in the sukkah, but on the first night there's a special mitzvah, and there the shear of achila is greater than a kezias. There the shear is a kezeya, and it's a machlokas, whether that's in the Rishonim, whether it's a kezias or a kezeya. But in general, the amount that it takes for a person to have to eat in a sukkah is the size of a kezeya, and so the size of an egg is a size that also has relevance in halacha. So the question is, how do we measure the size of an egg? So the Chazal proposed two ways you could do it. You could do the good old water displacement system, right? Which is, you put an egg in water, see how much, now you can measure the volume of an egg, see how much water is displaced, and that will be the shear. That would be one way, that's what we would have said. But the Gemara gives us another measuring stick, as well, another means of measurement as well. And that is, in a little more complicated terms, the Gemara says that one could determine the size of an egg in relationship to the size of a revius. Okay, a revius, a liquid measure, which we have as in the halacha, there is the size of a revius is also important. That's the amount that a person needs to drink. To say a bracha achrona, to say a bracha after the drinking, for other things as well, right? The size of a revius, a kiddush, you don't have to drink a whole revius, but that's at least the size that a person has to. It's a halakhically relevant size measurement, and we are told that there is a relationship between the size of an egg and the size of a revius, and then we are told that the relationship is that an egg is two-thirds of the size of a revius. The volume would be two-thirds of the size of a revius. Now that in itself wouldn't be so bad. However, the Gemara, the Chazal proceeded to give that measurement in thumbs. In other words, the Chazal say that you could use a human thumb and you can measure out how much this is, and it says exactly what, I don't have it in front of me, but it says a certain amount of thumb measurement, agudo, a person puts down his thumb, and you know, several times over, he'll arrive at this shear. So in the 18th century, one of the great Gedolim, Rabbi Chesed Landau, who was renowned for his svarim, Melech Yehuda, and he wrote also a commentary on several Masechtos called Tzlach. And in his commentary to the Gemara of Pesachim, he says a mind-boggling chiddush that shook the Torah world. And that is, he says that we have two shiurim, we have two ways to measure how much an egg is. One of them is water displacement, and the other is by use of a certain calculating the size of multiplying several times the size of the human thumb. Says the Nose of Yehuda, says the Tzlach, that I did both methods and they did not come out the same. They came out radically different. He said they came out, there was a very, very large difference between the water displacement. The water displacement was half of the measurement that came out when he used thumbs. So he said something is wrong. How could this be? So he proposed there are two possible explanations. In other words, if we will accept what he said to be in fact the case, which we'll see in a minute, people challenge what he said, but if we will take his word for it that it didn't work out, so how could we possibly explain this? So you would have to say one of two things. You would have to say either that human thumbs became larger in the 18th century than they were in the times of the Gemara, perhaps from all the learning of Torah that took place, you know, so therefore people, you know, that's it, or the thumbs became more used in the day-to-day life, so therefore perhaps, you know, a little more exercise, thumbs became larger. Or you could say that the eggs that we have are not the eggs that the Chazal was talking about, the Skatnu Haben, that the eggs are smaller. And therefore the water displacement is of today's egg is smaller than what it's supposed to be because of the fact that these eggs today that we have, even if you take a typical egg, a large egg, whatever it is, measured out smaller than the other shear that's given in the Gemara. So based on this, the Tzlach came out with a remarkable chumrah that he said that when measuring an egg, if a person is making the halakhic measurement of an egg, whatever egg you have today, times two. You have to double it. because in his calculation, the two shiurim that the Chazal gave, the only way they reconcile would be by saying that the eggs are not the same, and therefore, if we're going to have a shear that's based on the size of an egg, it's going to have to be doubled. Now, if this is true, so now things get interesting, because now we go back to the size of the kezias. So the size of the kezias, we said, is a machlokas between Tosfos and the Rambam. Is the size of a kezias a third of an egg or a half of an egg? Okay, but now it's what egg are we talking about? So now you have the following variables that have to be taken into consideration. When we talk about an egg, is it with the shell or without the shell? This is a machlokas in the poskim. The Mishnah Brura is of the opinion that it's with the shell. The Chazon Ish and others who have said this strongly disagreed with the Mishnah Brura, said it's without the shell. That's one issue. And a second issue would be, how large are the eggs altogether? Do we say the eggs are the eggs of today? Or are they a larger egg than not like we find today? Mm-hmm. Yes. How would you propose to do water displacement out of the shell?
That's easy.
You just
dump it into a container and see what the water rises.
I guess, right. Okay. Yeah. Fine. All right.
Hard boiled.
So now this ruling, Rav Osai, the Noda Yehuda of the Tzlat, generated a great deal of controversy. This shook the world because people were not used to this. They had a certain shear. It was always relevant. It was always an issue how big the shiurim are. It's not just in our time. People always needed to know how big is the shear, how large. And now all of a sudden he's telling us that you have to double it. So one of his students, one of his close Talmidim, who himself emerged as a leading halakhic authority, wrote the Sforim, Shalos Teshuvos, Teshuva Me'ava, said that with all due respect to my Rebbe, I know for a fact that he had very large thumbs, and therefore his measurement is not reliable. In other words, he was unusual. He can't go by him. You would have to measure it out, which most people don't go by one person. He measured it himself. He didn't do a scientific test where he took, ran samples of people, different heights, different weights, different ethnic groups, who knows what, right? He didn't do that. He used his own measurements. So who says that, so that's what he said? Who says he's right? This became a controversy. Others also disagreed with this. But I'm just giving this to you so you should understand that there is, it's not what would seem to be such a simple thing. Right? The amount of matzah you have to eat is a kezias. It can't get better than that. Just take those, get those jumbo olives. All right? You'll be machner, you'll get the mitzvah from the Torah to eat matzah on Pesach, the first night of Pesach, first night. So you'll get a jumbo olive and you'll take your matzah, pile it up against the olive, and then there you go. No big deal. It wouldn't be such a challenge to eat it. Nothing. But the reason why you can't do that is because of all these aforementioned reasons. The shiurim that we have today, it's clear when one looks in the Chazal that there has been a change, certainly in the olives that there is no question, that just like we know the grapes of old, the fruits of antiquity, at least in Eretz Yisrael, were not the same as what we have today. As far as eggs go, that is debated, that's the Tzlat versus the world, right? Most people held that the eggs are the same, but the Tzlat was very, very respected opinion from the Gedolei Achronim, and therefore, had someone else said it, maybe it wouldn't have gathered so much attention, but because of the person who said it, whose Tzlat Halacha was to this day revered and a cornerstone of modern Halacha, so therefore people took it more seriously. I'm sorry.
When he doubled the eggs, did it equal the thumbs?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yep. So the question is, how do we deal with this? So the general accepted standard when it comes to these things is that we would make a distinction between a mitzvah that's min haTorah and a mitzvah that's min haRabbanan. In other words, just like we know that when you have a mitzvah that's from the Torah, so we say safek d'oraisa l'chumrah, that when it comes to a doubt, so we take a stricter approach when it's a biblical ordained mitzvah, whereas if it's a rabbinic law, so then we have the concept safek d'rabbanan l'chumrah. So therefore, that would seem to be the approach here as well. And therefore, as we mentioned at the outset of the shir, we would start making chilukim. You would start saying that the shir is not going to be the same as the Pesach Seder for everything. Because the initial matzah that we eat at the Pesach Seder is a Torah mitzvah. That is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Even bisman hazeh, without the Korban Pesach, that is a mitzvah d'oraisa. So for that, we would be strict. Now the question is, how strict do you want to be? So you'll say, well, first things first. So let's go through. You have the machlokas between Tosfos and the Rambam. Is a kezayis a third or a half? So you'll say, well, chumrah will say that it's a half. Then you have the question, is it with the shell or without the shell? So you'll say, well, chumrah will do it with the shell. Then you have the question, do we go by what the tzlach said, or do we assume that the eggs are the same eggs that they always were? So again, a person will say, well, with chumrah, we will take the tzlach's opinion. Okay? So thus, l'chatchila, it will come out, if you ever look at any of these charts that give you the issue, how much, you know, the volume charts, how much matzah you have to eat, and you'll see that there are discrepancies made between the amount that's for matzah and the amount that's for korech and the amount that's for afikoman. So the reason for that is that, well, matzah is matzah, so how could it be? I mean, it has to be the same amount for each one. So the answer is that this is the explanation, because what a chiyuv min haTorah, we will be more machmir than what is a chiyuv d'rabbanan. Now, it's still not quite that simple because of two other factors that are not so well known, that halachas that apply at the Pesach Seder. The first thing is that we have a concept that is brought in the Shulchan Aruch, a chumrah, which is very hard to know if it really applies in our time, but it says, it's brought down that a person with chachila, when they eat the motzi matzah, when they eat the original matzah, should eat two kezayis, should eat two times the size of the kezayis. Now, the reason for that is because you're supposed to, it's very difficult to know if this really applies by us, because the reason that that's true is because there's a question, if you remember, if we review quickly how you do the Pesach Seder, so you start out with three matzahs, right? And then you have the yachas, you break the middle matzah in half, and the middle matzah half it gets put away for the afikoman, the larger half, and the smaller half is retained in the ta'ara, in the matzah plate. Okay, so now you're left with two and a half matzahs. Now, excuse me, the practice that we have is that the haggadah, the featured matzah, which is the matzah that the Torah talks about, lechem oni, right? The question is, the Chazal say, one of the interpretations, the Torah refers to matzah lechem oni, which literally means the bread of affliction, the poor man's bread, but there's a drasha that's found in the Gemara that it also means lechem sha'onim alav varim harbet, that there is the bread that we say the Haggadah on this, meaning that this is the featured matzah of the Haggadah. So there is a question when it comes to the bracha of Hamotzi, so when you come to the later on in the Seder, right, so the middle matzah is always the one when you, for example, when you go through the Seder and you go, Rabbi Gamliel said that there are three things that you have to speak about, Pesach, Matzah, Mara. So when we say matzah, we hold up a matzah, right? That's the minute. We hold up the matzah. Which matzah do we hold up? We hold up the broken one, right? Matzah Zuba, because this is presumably the matzah that is the featured matzah of the Haggadah. The star of the Haggadah is the middle matzah. The guest of honor of the Haggadah is essentially the middle matzah. Now, when it comes to saying Hamotzi, so we know that the law of Lecha Mishnah that applies on every Shabbos and Yom Tov applies here as well. So therefore, the practice is that when it comes to the Motzi Matzah, part of the Haggadah, the person picks up all three matzahs, says the Bracha Hamotzi Lecha Min Haaretz, then drops that, puts down the bottom one, and retains only the top two, the whole top one and the broken middle one, and says the Bracha Alachilas Matzah. There is a question in the poskim that the kezias of matzah that you're supposed to eat, should it be from the top matzah or from the middle matzah? And therefore, we have a chumrah that we try to eat, brought in the poskim, that a person should try to eat a kezias from each matzah. Now, this is not really practical. Really, if you're going to go with these amounts, you'll never be able to have, at best, only the person who's running the Seder will be able to have the second desire from that matzah, because of the fact that it's just not enough. It just isn't enough to give everyone a desire from that broken matzah. You can barely, we'll see in a minute, if you're lucky, you can get even one desire from that. But nevertheless, there is such a chumrah that a person should eat two. So you'll say, my goodness gracious, if we're going to take all of these chumras and now multiply it by two, so I'm going to have to be carted off from the Seder. That's right. You won't be able to eat anything else, and on top of that, you'll be in rough shape, right? So the answer to this is that since it's a chumrah, so therefore one could take the most lenient thing. In other words, since you're only doing it as a chumrah, so on the priority charts, contrary to what people think today, right, a chumrah is on the back of the priority list. In other words, the first thing you have to do is what the halacha demands. You want to take a chumrah, so the chumrah is goes more to the back of the bus, right? The yuvim sit in the front of the bus. So therefore, the obligation to eat matzah, for that we would take every chumrah. But to eat the second kezias, for that we could take every kula. And thus, the good news is that if you eat one kezias of the chumrah shir, it is the equivalent of, excuse me, one, if you took all the strict opinions, if you took the half of an egg, and the shell, and the double size of the egg, all of that together, one such kezias is more than two kezaisim, taking all the lenient opinions. So therefore, in reality, a person would only need to have one strict opinion desire at the Pesach Seder for Motzi Matzah, and that would cover even the Chumrah that's mentioned in the Mishnah Berurah and other places. You would cover that easily. Okay, so therefore, that is taken care of. Okay, so that's the good one. So even if this all sounds very confusing, but the bottom line is that there's one good development that comes from taking the strict opinions, is that you could fulfill this chumrah without breaking a sweat. Okay, now when it comes to korek, on the other hand, korek, when you make the sandwich or the matzah and the marah together, so this is clearly the Rabbanan, as I mentioned, we say that explicitly, that this is only a commemoration of the way it was because of the fact that the Karban Pesach was eaten, according to one opinion, was eaten together with the Matzah and the Marah, and therefore this is a Rabbanan for sure, and being that it's a Rabbanan for sure, we can also take all the lenient opinions. So therefore, for this purpose, a person can take the one-third shear, in other words, you can take the Rambam's shear, which is that it's a third of an egg, and you could go without the shell, and you could go without the tzlach, and therefore, for that, everything becomes more lean. Okay, the Afikoman is a little trickier, because the Afikoman, even though it's also the Rabbanan, but the Afikoman has also brought down a chumra that nobody wants to know about, especially at that point of the night, that it's brought down that when one eats the Afikoman, you should eat not only a kezias to commemorate the Afikoman, but you should eat a second kezias as well, which is, again, not on the top of the popularity charts of halachos that are observed on Pesach. So again, the size that would be, but here you don't have to even start out with the Doraisa shear because of the fact that it's a because the Avikoman is the Rabbanon, no matter how you slice it. So therefore, if you, I regret I didn't bring in one of these color-coded charts, but if you know what I'm talking about, and you will look at it, and you will say, what in the blazes do they have a size that's given for matzah, a size that's given for korek, a size that's given for afikoman, and not that none of them are the same, that's the reason. Okay? Now, okay, so this is as far as the shiurim go. Now, after everything's said and done, so here it is, 9:30 in the morning, right, and being hit with all bombarded with technicalities, you'll say, so what do I get from this? In other words, at the end of the day, how do we proceed from here? So basically, this has been measured out by many people, and there are debates. You know, another issue which comes up in the halacha is when you measure the volume of matzah, do you count the air holes that are in the matzah? Right? So now do you have to grind it up into matzah meal, or can you count the hole? So this is also a dispute. So the Mishnah Brura on this point is lenient and says, it's on the sheet that I handed out, but I'm not going to read it through at this point. He says that actually the Ramah says that you can count the air spaces. Not everyone agreed with that. The Chazanish did not agree with that, and they felt that it had to be grounded up. So this would also be a difference of opinion. But putting it all together, in other words, at the end of the day, nobody came there wanting to hear just again. So now you have to go buy 300 pounds of matzah to fill the mitzvah properly, and now you understand those who have the custom not to eat matzah ready from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. I understand why, because you have to really prepare yourself for this. It requires a great deal. It could be an emotional, traumatic experience to eat so much matzah. So what's lamaisa? So what do we do at the end of the day? So basically, the way there are different opinions. Now, the reason I'm going through this is because I want you to see that the shiurim that we have, nothing is etched in stone. Because you have all these mix and match opinions. You count the shells, you go to half an egg, a third of an egg, this, that, the other thing. So at the end of the day, therefore, there could be different shiur. There's the preferred shiur, but not everybody can eat the preferred shiur. People have difficulty eating matzah. Not easy. Some people, for any number of reasons, people could have difficulty eating matzah. Person not well, whatever, people issues, you know, with chewing. The tolerance of matzah in general could be challenging. Nowadays, especially, you have all the allergies. They make different types of matzahs. You know, you have the old matzahs, spelt matzahs, all kinds of things that are produced today. But you have, certainly, people have a difficulty eating matzah. So what I'm going to say now is the most luchatchila, and if a person has difficulty, consult your Rav and ask him what he thinks you should do, because as you could see, there's room to be lenient because of all these combinations. So you don't have to combine all these things. In other words, if you want to take the approach that better safe than sorry, which is the general halachic approach, when you have a suffix, if you're not sure what to do, so you do something that would make everybody happy. But that's only if you can handle it. If you can't handle it, so then, okay, then we have to see what's going to be the next level. Right? We'll have to, you know, go down. But the basic accepted shear is that the biggest chumrah is that for the motzi matzah, which would call for the biggest chumrah, because that's the one and only mitzvah of eating at the Pesach Seder that is min haTorah, is eating that original kezias of matzah. So the shear that they give is 1.69 fluid ounces, which I don't know if that necessarily helps anybody. But what they say is, it's like in the typical hand, if you use the hand matzahs, okay, so again, now you have to realize that when you're measuring matzahs, it's very hard to say a shear, because all the matzahs are made differently. The different bakeries that make matzahs, some make thinner, some make thicker, some make the diameter a little bit larger. larger, right? In other words, how are you gonna possibly come up with an exact amount? But in the standard, it has been determined that the standard pound of canned matzahs contains 8 matzahs. Okay, which if you do the math, how much paper it is, my goodness. Right, there are 8 matzahs in that. If that is the standard amount, then the shear, the biggest chumrah shear, would be slightly more than half of a matzah, of such a matzah. In other words, if a person is using hand matzahs at the Seder, and you want to say, all right, for motzi matzah, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to go and why not? It's a mitzvah once a year, twice a year, whatever it is, right? And I'm going to do it. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. Everybody reveres the Pesach Seder. It's one of the most beloved observances that we have. So I'm going to do it the best possible way. So a little bit more than a half of a machine matzah. The number I saw quoted was 51%, which is literally a little more than half.
The hands are machine.
Hand matzah, slightly more than half. In a machine matzah, however, the machine matzahs are smaller, and therefore they say it would be pretty much an entire matzah of a machine matzah. In other words, this is the biggest chumrah. This would be, if you did this, there's no question. Now, you definitely yotzei, according to all the opinions. If a person can't handle it, because it's just, I can't eat so much. So then there's room to go down. How much to go down is very difficult to say, because now it's going to be a question which things do you want to start playing with. You want, so the first thing to go probably would be the slot. That was because that's the most controversial, so that would probably be the first thing out, you know, that you don't have to double the size of the eggs. Right, as far as the Rambam and Tosfos, that's already in the Rishonim, and the, you know, they have basis in the Gemara, so there would be, you know, you could go down there too. You could say, alright, so we'll go with the Rambam's opinion, that's the third, but whatever it may be, this already, I can't say, because I honestly don't know. You know, you really have to sit down and figure this out. If a person had it happens that people have difficulty eating matzah, so you have to sit down with a rub and figure it out. How much should I eat? And that's going to be the amount. Okay, this is as far as the matzah for the multi matzah is concerned. When it comes to the other things, when it comes to the koresh and apikomen, so you could go less than that. And there the size would be less. I think for Koret they say it's 0.65 fluid ounces, which is incredibly less. It's almost a third of what the original shear was. So and there's all kinds of opinions. They say that the Chazon Ish would measure a piece of matzah on the palm of his hand and without his thumb. He would measure, right, not because of the other thing, but he would measure the palm of his hand, right, and I think, there are all kinds of ways of doing it. If you want to go by these charts that they sell, you can do that. If not, they have listed, I don't have the exact in terms of amount of matzah. I know for the multi matzah it would be a little more than half of a hand matzah, or a full machine matzah. For the korek it would be clearly less. Certainly, it would be a half. It's safe to say it would be half of each. Right, for the Torah.
Half of the original amount.
Right, half of the original amount. For Rafi Coleman, it could be a little more. It's very, I regret that I couldn't get it in how much that is. I couldn't work it out to determine how much it would be. But, if you work around what the original amount is and you say that these things are the Rabbanim, we could be more lenient. So therefore, you could certainly go down by half of the original amount for the korek,
so
and
25%
slightly
more than
that. Right, that's right. That's right. So it's like 27, 28%.
Probably less than that.
Once again, in other words, a person who can't handle matzah, period, a person who can only eat the absolute minimum because of health or reasons or something like that, So at the end of the day, you can put aside all these things. All you need is the mitzvah in the Torah is to eat a kazayas or matzah. So, okay, so I can't do the Torah. I can't do that because I'll take all the lenient things. And if you take all the lenient things, it would add up. The problem, though, with that is that it has to be, in order for this to be considered halakhically an achila, it has to be eaten within a prescribed period of time. So therefore, if it stretches out over a longer period of time, you would have an issue with that. So I would imagine that I don't know this from experience, but I would imagine to discuss this with a rabbi or a rav of the shul, that the person who is really challenged in eating matzah, the main thing is the first thing. That's the main thing.
Yeah. If he would be considered righteous, he can't do it.
If he what?
If he can't get the whole desire stuff, he would be considered.
Well, no, you're not yotzei. Hey, I don't want to come across. The unfortunate reality is you're not yotzei if you don't have a desire. The question is how much is the desire. If a person says the bracha halachilas matzah and breaks off a little corner of the matzah and eats it, you're not yotzei. You did not fulfill the mitzvah, and it's a bracha vatol. That is no question. The point I'm trying to bring out here is that since there are so many variables that go into the determination of how much a kazayas is, so then it depends on, obviously, the determination that's going to be made for a person who is not well, or for a person who has issues chewing, all kinds of things, it's not going to be the same. But a healthy person, and especially when it comes to the Pesach Seder, we try so hard, right? Everyone goes so hard to get some, the children, grandchildren, all the different color, and people go by special Afikoman bags and all kinds of things. You make sure you have a beautiful sterling silver Kaara, all kinds, right? The main thing is to do the mitzvahs properly. And the mitzvah, is in the whole Pesach Seder, the only mitzvahs that are min HaTorah, right, are the mitzvah of saying the Haggadah and the mitzvah of matzah. The mitzvah of eating the first kezayis of matzah, the motzi matzah, those, everything else is the rabbanim. Right, unless it's Friday night, so then the Kiddush would also be the right. But essentially, everything else, the Kiddush on Yom Kippur is the Rabbanan, the Avakosos is the Rabbanan, the Koran is the Rabbanan, the Afikoman is the Rabbanan, the Hallel is the Rabbanan, everything is the Rabbanan. Right? The only thing, so if a person is preparing for the Seder, it really behooves us to, at least this, we should try to do it right. So now again, these shiurim that you see now that they're already now in the modern haggadahs that are printed, they already built it in. That's on the back page. If you ever notice on the back flap, they'll give you in some of the haggadahs the measuring amounts. But when you look at it, you say, what in the world? How could it be such a thing? And how could it be different from matzah and from afikoman? How could it be? Right, so this is the explanation.
Well, what is it? Now, you never gave us a question about afikoman. Is it
afikoman essentially would be the same thing as koreh, except that by afikoman, since there is a chumrah also to eat two kizaisim, so then it would presumably be double that. Okay, so you can take the most lenient opinion and double it. Okay, but it would still be less. It would still be less than the doraisa. It would still be less than the shear of multi matzah. It would probably be also
1.3.
But it'll be more than Koreh. It'll be, in other words,
so what percent?
The percent, I would say, if this is 51, so probably it's hard to say. Probably 40%.
1.3 versus 1.69.
Yeah, because when they do, it's hard to know if you calculate everything. If you calculate everything with all the coolers, what the number you come out with is, what I have in my head is that it's half, right? It's half, but it could be even less than half. In other words, when we calculated the share, a 51% of a hand matzah, or an entire machine matzah, is taking all the chumas. That's taking all the chumas. Okay, so now, the one last thing, Rabbos, I just covered, and we'll end it on this over the time, is that when it comes to eating maror, so now again, the question comes up, you have to have a kazayas of maror too. Okay, now by the way, maror has to be from the species that are mentioned in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, And Mara has to be in pure form. A person, a common misconception which used to exist, I think today pretty much people know, is that if you go buy prepared horseradish in the store, the gold horseradish or anything like that, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah Mara eating that stuff. Okay, because of the fact that there are other things mixed into it. So therefore you're not just getting the Mara. You have Mara plus all the other ingredients. So you have to eat, either you can grind up the horseradish, you can eat romaine lettuce, you have to check it, whatever, different types of enzymes, whatever people use. Okay, now, when it comes to Mars, the Mars is also Darabana. You'll say, well, okay, great, so we'll take Weenie's opinion, we'll take this Rambam Shita, that it's only a third of an egg, and we'll say goodbye to the Nova Yehuda, right, we don't need it, take his son, somewhere else, right, there's one chumrah here which is mentioned in Mishnah Berurah, and that is the Mishnah Berurah says, I'm not going to read it inside to save the time. The Mishnah Berurah says that there are those who hold that by a Rabbanan that you say a bracha on, you should also be machmer the same way as if it was Saraisa. Okay, now the Korek we don't say a bracha, not the Koman we don't say a bracha, but Mara we do say a bracha. So therefore, the amount that a Mara that a person would have to eat. So again, but this is the Mishnah Berurah saying this as a chumrah as well. So therefore, if a person wants to be lenient, he can take the lenient opinion, and in terms of the amount of Mara. But if a person wants to be strict, then they would take the Doraisa amount. So there too, again, the number, the biggest chumrah is 1.69 fluid ounces. It's really worthwhile if you're unclear about it. You can do one of two things. You could either take two eggs and put it down right in front of you, right? If you take two eggs, then you have all the chumrahs. If you measure against two eggs, everybody's happy. In other words, according to the tzlach, the chumrah that he said was that the eggs are half what they used to be. So you could do a visual right in front of your eyes. You could say, all right, this is prepare some sort of measuring cup. Or you can get one of these cards that gives you the shiur, that tells you. So the purpose, I hope I did more good benefit than harm by saying this. The purpose, I'm just trying to establish what the issues are when people see these things astounded and very often annoyed that what was ridiculous. How could it possibly be such a thing? How could it possibly be the kazayas? I know what a kazayas is. I know what owls are. So hopefully we have some insight into the issues. One can consult with their local rav to ask what the numbers that they prescribe. It is a very good idea if you want to measure it out, you take a measuring cup or whatever. There are different ways to do it. But hopefully everyone is somewhat enlightened in this Indian. I wish everyone a kashrus from that. And Sunday, May 1st.